this holiday, whether you're making a Kroger Simple Truth Turkey for 40 or a Murray's Baked Brie for two, Kroger has fast, fresh delivery and free pickup, so you can make holiday meals that bring you all together to create memories that last. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Choose from a great selection of digital coupons and use them up to 5 times in one transaction. Check our app for details. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Oh, I'm not gonna lie, Nick. I don't have there we go. Transform vertically, and then you know what? I'm gonna do it like this. Fuck, where is, I get so confused sometimes with this shit. There. We're set now, Nick. We're ready? Recording, and I didn't have any fucking notes to write down.
I didn't take it. I never take any notes unless it's like rewatching something old. I'll explain why I didn't take any notes this when we get into it.
Okay. Well then, ready? Fucking roll it.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Marvel Multiverse Mayhem.
I just say mayhem, yay, and I just drank an old soda.
Flat.
mayhem, craziness. God, it's awful.
I am joined by as always, by Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Kyle. Of course, the show is brought to you by Grow Generation, where the pros go to growth. So we are here to talk about what?
Hawkeye on LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network and the LRM YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe or follow button. There's a bunch of social media information down below for us and the site. Do all that. Hate clicks, motherfucker. We will take the hate clicks. Dude, our Spider-Man video is doing pretty good. Lots of people watching it. Yeah.
It's because we insult something that a lot of people will defend to the end, kind of like insulting the prequel trilogy or something.
Yeah,
there's a group that grew up with it where they're like, no, it's my favorite Spider-Man.
I know. But they can't. It's a lot like what we were talking about before we started the show. You can defend it as the parts that you like, but it's really hard to counter the points that people bring up. You just have to say, Jammer did in The Last Jedi review. Where it was literally, he's like, yeah, that's a valid point. I just don't give a fuck about it. Cam and I are sitting there like, oh my God, how do you not care? How does this not drive you insane? We hate you with a passion.
Didn't even cut off your limbs.
Your carbon atoms would have been better off a lump of coal.
Woofta.
But yeah, we're no, discuss- it's fine.
The first two episodes of Hawkeye.
How are we doing
titled
this?
What?
How are we doing? First episode and then second episode?
Yeah, let's just do them both. We can even do it together if we want.
Oh, no,
they're released the same day.
Chapters. It'll make it easier for me.
Okay, so we'll chapter one. Chapter one, never meet your heroes. Oh. Or hero, I think. I was going to ask something, but I can't remember.
Initial reaction.
Don't forget, at the end, I wanted to ask the Christmas question. Is this the true Christmas show, or is it like some people don't consider Die Hard one?
Too early, I think, but we can discuss what we think at the end. I want to actually kind of start off with a question for you, because if you guys see me reach out towards my camera, I'm trying to reset the focus, what were your expectations for this show before pushing play on episode one? And do you feel your expectations were met?
High. And so far, yes, because there's 2/3 of the show left. And this is very much like Falcon and the Winter Soldier, as far as like we're setting up character development, extreme character development.
Yeah.
And because I've seen some reviews, I watched Heavy Spoilers today because I like to get, you know, he points out stuff like Mephisto, you know, being all over the place. Aha, just kidding. You just make that joke every week.
We're kidding.
Wait, my favorite one, hold on, was going back. My favorite one is he was doing, someone was doing the Spider-Man trailer and they're like, look, it's the M train for Mephisto. He's like, I'm just kidding. The M train is what goes to Queens. But, he thought it was too slow and you could cut a bunch of scenes. Spoilers, of course. like one of the things he thought was a big character, like a big slowdown for the show, is in episode two they're LARPing, which he'd never heard of before, and he's like, I've only seen it in a Loki, and it's like, technically that's not LARPing, that's a Renaissance fair, and that's different.
And he never saw role models.
No, but they should put it, so whoever edits his videos put in a clip of role models where Paul Rudd is like, what the fuck is LARPing?
And there's a great great episode of American Dad with LARPing. Yeah, anyways,
but he said stuff like that felt like a waste of time, you know, drawing it out 6 hours or whatever. I felt it was more excellent character development. And just, yeah, I felt this was two great episodes that are setting up possible villains. It could be a number of people besides the obvious gang and Echo. Like when was it go along? I'll ask, like, do you really think the dad's, is he a red herring? Is he the murderer? But I feel like it worked really well as introducing us to, you know, a world we know. But also, I think, isn't this the farthest in the future we've gone? If this is 2 years after the snap?
I think
Doesn't that make it 225? In 2025, yeah. I mean?
I think so.
Now put it above.
This should be, well, no, I think they're setting this up as the same time frame as No Way Home.
So that was my question. I guess No Way Home isn't confirmed to take place at Christmas. It's just,
we see wintry and Halloween stuff. So you think it's going to be towards Christmas. Because so they can't
if they're happening at the same time, it really doesn't matter what Hawkeye's doing on the street level if the multiverse is crackling around them.
Far From Home is summer of 25, isn't it? I think so. Because they come back in 2024.
I thought it was I don't remember. It's 2023. They come back.
It's 2024 because it's five years.
This is 26 because they said this is the guy who made the show says this is 2 years after the snap. So like almost
The snap,
like 1.5 year after WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Okay, so then it's got to be winter 25. Far From Home was summer of 24. So then this might be ahead of No Way Home. I don't know.
In the future? I guess it doesn't matter. But to answer my first thing I said I was going to say when we hopped on, I didn't take notes because this feels like even more straightforward than Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
So far,
it's like Loki and Wanda. It's like, oh God, could that mean something? What does that mean? This one's even less involved, I feel, than Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's not even talking about the snap. Yeah,
small mysteries with the characters that we see, not necessarily larger stuff. I'm not going to lie, this is fine, but I was a little let down. I expected more Christmassy from the get-go. I do think it moves a little slow. Not awfully. Maybe these could have been 35, 40-minute episodes instead of 50-minute episodes. But I would say if I was I was expecting an 8. This is a 7. So,
but I think we're getting into the best.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Like, we're just talking. I think the clip they show us on Disney Plus is going to start the next episode where they escape from the.
Yeah.
Sweat. What are they called again? Which is right out of the comic, but they're like, there's a joke about what a stupid name.
Tracksuit Mafia. Yeah.
And someone pointed this out. One of them is a Skrull in Loki. There's a Skrull in Loki wearing a tracksuit. And like,
wonder if.
But if he's there, that means he's a variant anyway. Yeah. So
we'll see. Anything's possible. Yeah, that was kind of my initial reaction. I expected it to feel more Christmassy, and I'm not going to lie. I have such an aversion to musicals that I felt like Hawkeye and his family watching.
Well, it was supposed to be terrible.
Dude, it's the worst of the worst of Broadway. Like,
do this all day. He sings that at least twice. And I was like,
I love the reference. Ant-Man joke.
Ant-Man. He wasn't there.
I know. No. But, you know, my favorite musicals are weird and twisted, like Little Shop of Horrors, Nightmare Before Christmas, and Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
I didn't know that was a musical.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
That's a book. Or is it based off a book?
No.
Doesn't matter. I've heard the name before. I've never seen it.
It's a musical that became a movie and then a musical again. NPH played Hedwig. which is a gay guy that goes for a sex change surgery to get to America to leave East Germany. But the U.S. military person that they, you know, agreed to do it with turned out that they didn't really want a effeminate trans. They wanted a gay partner. And so since they have all but 1 inch cut off in a terrible East European surgery, Hedwig is left with nothing but an angry inch of a...
I've heard that name so many times. I've always figured it's a book within the Harry Potter universe or something. That name is so...
No, it is such a good musical, though, because it's funny and over the top, and it's got some really, really great songs that fit outside of the musicals scene. You think Sugar Daddy and Midnight Radio, like, those are on my playlist. They sound like just regular songs. It's all awesome. And NPH and Lena Hall fucking killed it in their revival. But anyways, we're not here to show how much theater Kyle knows, despite claiming how awful he hates.
We all hate theater and then have at least 10 that we love.
Yeah. Well, I love I love theater. I'm not a musical guy, but yeah.
Oh, okay. That's I was even specifically saying musicals. I would say I hate musicals, but I could probably name 5 to 10 that I would die to see. But anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
So Roger's the musical. Roger's the musical in the episode Never Meet Your Heroes.
Yeah.
One of my first things I loved about the show is the opening credits don't involve our Hawkeye at all. The opening credits is all Kate Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool because... Yeah, that's in the post credits. You have them both, you know, mm-hmm. the literal credits, not the post credit scene. You have them both. And the style, oh my God, it looks like the comic by Matt Fraction. So hardcore. Mm.
I just don't like how stiff the animation is in that. When it first started, I was, because of some certain rumors about a big guy in a white suit that's bald that might show up. And it's just rumors at this point.
Yeah, I've heard rumors too.
I immediately compared it to the Netflix intros because this did feel a little different than the other Marvel.
The other ones didn't have a real intro shows, except for What If, which was really generic.
And so I kind of saw that, and the only thing I really didn't like was when they're doing the animation, it's very like choppy, but I love the artwork itself.
So we open 2012 in New York with people referencing things.
Can we get away from it?
I was going to say the opposite. I really like that. But I like that they tie it that close to Hawkeye. Not only Hawkeye rescuing her, but her dad dying. And, you know, it's 2012, it's New York, and they keep referencing how nothing good ever falls from the sky. Like, something good will fall from the sky, and then the dad is killed, and she's saved personally by Hawkeye right before he does his jump.
Yeah, it's the...
And we get to see this all from a different angle.
Yep.
Including the Chitauri animation is new because it's flying at her and stuff. Yeah. And it looked fine.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it looking weird or anything. You know, sometimes you compare the movies and the TV shows and you're like, eh.
I don't know if I actually saw, but I saw like what looked, it could have been just red paper trash, but I thought I saw like a red kid because I was looking in the background like, do I see Iron Man? Is he flying back? Is Hulk going to jump across the screen? And the only thing I saw could have been trash, but it could have been Thor's cape because it looked like it had distance. But
and obviously they're focusing on Hawkeye. For
But I mean, I still
normally he's called the least favorite Avenger because
I love him.
I love him too. He was wasted in the first film. I love him. I love him the most in the series. Has a hearing aid. There's a joke in the second episode about why do you have that? It just cuts to a montage of times his ears would have exploded.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's trying to be with his family for the first time in a few years. They're having Christmas. His family's in town. They explain it. The trailer made it confusing. They explain he's spending time with his kids without the mom, and then he's going to fly back.
Yep.
Looks like he has his own place in New York, and he has a place.
I'm guessing if you were Clint Barton, you would also have the farmhouse as well as a place in New York.
I would stay in fucking farmland after Thanos.
Oh yeah, but I like the Thanos was right on the
toilet. Oh my god, I laughed so hard, especially after he has the Black Widow trauma, and then he looks at that, and it's like,
I'm
such
always,
a call out to fans.
I'm always a Thanos was right. Cylons were right. Megatron was right. If you guys don't realize, I hate your entire species, and I really want to wipe.
In the end, after Eternals, it's more clear that Thanos was right because Thanos stopped the emergence.
I know.
Knowing it.
But yeah,
I think he could have snapped away half the Celestials too.
I mean, yeah, you would think. That's a movie full of plot holes, though.
Oh, it is. So we're here to discuss Hawkeye, which I feel is less plot holes. So we meet Kate Bishop. She's been training for years. She was training before she saw Hawkeye and wants to not avenge her father, mm-hmm. but you know, protect people like she was protected. She, you know, the opening credits like show that she's like basically an Olympian, like fencing and archery.
She dives hard into everything it's going to take to become the next Avenger.
She basically goes through a training problem that's program that's probably more rigorous than whatever S.H.I.E.L.D. did to Hawkeye.
No, but yeah, she does quite a bit. Nothing.
She's cocky.
Yeah, nothing like she did ever put her training against like live fire or anything. So
not
that's,
until now.
That's what happens in SF type training and shit. Like I'll tell you.
He's never been to Budapest.
True, he had never been to Budapest.
Budapest, that's right.
I'll tell you one of the freakiest training events ever in the military is the live fire, but buddy firing exercises, where legitimately you're going to move in front of someone who's going to shoot from behind you. There's specific safeties that are designed. You have a certain lane. You can't aim the weapon out of it, but it is still the thought.
So the thought that fire is being shot past your
head. Yes, but you have to within reason and safety, and you do it with blanks first. You do it dry fire, you know, where you're saying pew pew or bang bang bang,
pew pew,
and then you have blanks.
Like the LARPer
and then,
guy, which we'll get to
right, and then you do actual. Hey buddy, I'm cover me while I move. I got you covered. And then there's the big culmination of event at the end of basic training. I'm speaking for the Army when I went through training in 2003, where you, after a 15 kilometer march, about 12 miles, mm-hmm. You do an assault on an objective. You have to low crawl, belly crawl under barbed wire, and then assault a hill, all the while live machine guns, usually 240 Bravos and 50 cals are shooting live rounds, and then there's artillery simulators to go off. Every now, of course, the live rounds are so far up ahead, the drill sergeants can stand up and still not get. But you have live, and there's tracers. Every 4 or 5 rounds is a tracer, so you can see these goddamn things going over your head. So Clint probably got some of that. She didn't, but it doesn't take away from what you can do. Through martial arts training, archery training, fencing training. So, yeah, it's definitely and the fact that she did it herself just to fucking get to that level is very cool. Yeah.
Hey, thank you for your service.
Oh,
whenever you bring up military stuff, I should always thank you. Because you're also the expert on that. Whenever we're talking about, like, Falcon and the Winter Soldier or something, you're like, well, this is more accurate. No, we all appreciate it, don't you guys?
Aw, well, thank you, guys.
Love you, Kyle. Anyway, so this first episode is mostly about meeting Kate, because mm-hmm. we've seen Hawkeye across a number of movies, even though he's one of the only Avengers not in all 4 Avengers. He's the only original Avenger not in all 4 Avengers movies.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't in Infinity War at all.
Infinity War.
But then Whedon went overboard and let us see his family and stuff, which, I mean, I feel like... And they say the show was one of the reasons they greenlit the show was because of the scene with Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably my favorite Hawkeye scene where he's like, there are like robots and monsters flying around out there. I just got a fucking bow and arrow. He doesn't say fucking, I just got a bow and arrow. Like, if you step out that door, you're an Avenger. And that's exactly what the show is, where he's like not wanting to, but he's having to mentor Kate Bishop to get her out of trouble. Because the main plot with her is she's back in New York, not just for Christmas vacation, but because she got expelled for destroying a bell and clock tower, as the joke is made. She goes home. Her mom is engaged, which she finds out at a party to a very suspicious gentleman who looks just like her father. But at the same time, the mom's almost more suspicious, and we'll get to that. But they take her to make her go to a party, and at the party, she finds out from an old friend of her dad's, I guess, because she used to play at his house or something in his brownstone.
Yeah, the uncle of the new fiance of her mom.
But she knew him since a kid. He's like, he used to run around in my brownstone or whatever. And she's like, oh, that's actually weird. I didn't think about that. So the guy's house she played at as a kid is uncle to the new person that the mom is marrying. But all throughout it, she's getting suspicious. You know, she steps out because she hates it. Like, she's told to like wear more feminine attire at the wedding, which is how she finds out that her mom is getting married to the swordsman, Jax, I think.
Yeah, but he makes I was confused by that line because he was like, you look better than I do. And then he's like, maybe next time you wear something more, or at the wedding, wear something more feminine so you don't show me up. So I don't know if it was necessarily.
Still, you know, you see her expression. That's still like a smile more moment in Captain Marvel.
It's one of those lines where Marvel is trying to appeal to one side without alienating another, and it just comes off weird.
It fit for me, especially because she was obviously dressed in a suit despite her mother, who told her to put on that dress. Or she like reverences a dress, and she shows up in a suit.
If he had just said wear something more girly at the wedding without the "so you don't show me" or "so we're not competing," then it would have hit exactly the way I think they wanted it to. But again, it just seems like every now and then Marvel doesn't want to go full High Republic.
Minor microaggression, not full microaggression.
Yeah, they don't want to go full High Republic with the placations and platitudes to some. But anyways, carry on.
So they're at the party. She sees her mom get yelled at by the older gentleman, the uncle of Ahmad. So Ahmad. She follows him. Luckily, she's dressed just like the waiters, which is how he witnesses her, and she's able to sneak into an underground
auction
with items like everything from a Triceratops skull to items found at Avengers facility, which I guess damage control or maybe looters had to go through there after we saw it completely destroyed. And there really aren't much Avengers who are keeping tabs on Happy's off on his Spider-Man journey, Stark's dead, Thor's off planet with Star-Lord.
Cap's on the moon.
Yeah, Cap's on the moon. Hulk's apparently turning his cousin into the Incredible Hulk. I don't know. That was a weird little teaser trailer for that one.
Yeah.
But
he's helping
Spider-Man's trying to be the Avenger, basically.
Yeah.
So
only one left.
And the tracksuit gang shows up, and they're mostly after a watch.
Mm-hmm.
Which we see briefly, and I wonder if it's Stark Tech. Like, yeah, that's the watch that covers his hand or something.
Maybe.
But in the meantime, the uncle bids Ahmed, you said?
Yeah, Ahmed or Ahmad, something like that.
Bids against his nephew, Jax, for the Sword of Ronin, who, of course, no one knows it except for the Avengers, but it was Hawkeye who went on that murdering spray, including against the tracksuit mafia. And then the suit is about to be on auctioned. Then things go crazy. The tracksuit mafia break in. She's able to grab the suit, which somehow fits her perfectly. But this is a comic book movie. Kyle and I kind of messaged Kyle about it on the spoiler room of Stitch. You may not have even seen it yet, but it's kind of like they should have. They should have made it. They should have cut the difference. Like obviously, it'd be super baggy on her. They should have redesigned it so it's slightly baggy enough. Because it fits three different characters
in the first two episodes. All sized very differently. And
she's
way
smaller than Clint.
Like, and way smaller than the big firefighter that...
Who's also smaller than Clint.
I mean, it's just like...
I was hoping they'd have a better reason for that, but...
all they had to do was make it a bit baggy on her, you know?
You could, like I said, don't even use the original costume. Just split the difference.
Yeah.
Make it look a little baggy. Mm-hmm. You don't need to give her the exact suit Hawk of a giant Jeremy Renner wore, you know. But
is he really so that attack, big? How tall is he?
I mean, but he's kind of built too. And you put it on a 22-year-old girl instead of a like 50-year-old man. I assume he's in his 50s by now.
He is so, 5'9". I'm taller than he is.
So she's able to fight them off.
She's 5'8", but he is definitely broader. And that's the thing.
Yeah, no, she's way thinner and it fits.
Yep. Absolutely.
So she's able to like fight them off. Her new father-in-law escapes. Mother-in-law seems to have no idea what's going on. She like chases them in the Ronin suit. She's like, I'll put on a mask if I'm going to use all my, you know, sometimes it's like she'll be overpowered, but she's really well-trained.
Yeah.
It's like they promise. At like one point, some guy almost shoots her and she has a whole like twist around thing and even like punches a bottle in someone's face from the wine cellar because they're in a wine cellar. Chases them on
the
street.
That's where I have all my illegal options.
She chases them onto the street, rescues Lucky, who in this is called Pizza Dog.
Mm.
In the comics, he's hit by a car and Hawkeye saves him in the first issue. But she meets him. He already is missing an eye. She gets spotted on camera because she's trying to save him from traffic. And then she goes and visits Armin Amens. I already forgot his whatever. I forget most of the names in the show.
Maybe
see what's going
on
because he threatened her mother. And he's been stabbed in the back. He's dead. And
which you think
she leaves.
Is potentially done by
future father-in-law.
Jax. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure his name is Jax.
Yeah.
And so she runs after that, and then they kind of catch her, and that's episode one. And of course, we've seen Hawkeye sees it on the news, and is like, "Fucking Ronin suit? Like, what the fuck?" Is like,
"I'm
responsible for this shit." Yeah.
Yep. And
I have to make sure this isn't someone imitating me.
Mm-hmm.
That's episode one, right? Did I miss anything important?
No, man. I think you got it. And
she sees the candy.
She does.
He makes a verbal line about how
he gets his candy monogrammed.
Yeah, they're like Werther's original. Only they have the name of the guy.
Arbat the third. Yeah. It's a fine introduction episode. It's a bit slow because it's like. They wanted to show her at school and why she gets taken away from school. I would have actually condensed that scene. I would have had her coming home and mom
just
been,
come home for Christmas.
No, I'm saying I would have had her coming home and mom been like, "What are you doing here?" Oh, I got in some trouble, and then you would show like her lining up the shot. And it's like, well, what kind of trouble?
Oh, that would be great.
Like that type of thing. Just to shorten it up. You
that's
know,
good.
That's what good. I that's You're what I would have done to cut a couple of minutes out of it.
Creative guy.
Thank you. Because it does take us out. Because we got to see Hawk Clint.
We got to see her climbing skills.
And I think they were trying to set up too much. But it's like you guys already set this up in the credits. Like, we're going to see it later on. But yeah, I think there
Here's
was a faster
a joke.
Way to cut it.
Here's a joke I sent to the Raking Geek Slack team.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? A black Avenger can't even get a bank loan, but a white Avenger gets free sides at a Chinese restaurant? he's noticed. He's a celebrity, but it's like he gets one side for free. He's like, oh, that's okay. He's like, no, you saved New York. So I thought that was really funny. I mean,
Falcon
I bet Hawkeye
could
get
New
a
York
bank
yet.
Loan.
He hasn't saved New York yet. He saved like the whole world, but I mean, New Yorkers are their own thing. They think
that's
the
true.
Universe
well, he
revolves
saved New York
around
first.
Them.
It was in New York where he finally became unbrainwashed and shot an arrow at Loki that distracted him enough.
Falcon didn't save.
But Falcon's in the South. Yeah. That's right. Falcon didn't save the South.
Yeah, I was saying he saves the world, but he didn't save New York. And we all know New York's the center of the universe in their
New
mind,
York.
So.
New York. So, yeah, some of my favorite parts of the first episode, Thanos is right thing.
It's just
so funny, especially since fans have been saying it. Like, it's kind of like The Watcher. where Black Widow's like, what do you do? Just like watch us for your entertainment, like mm-hmm. referring to us, the fans. And it's like, no, your stories are everything to me. Like, it's kind of like that, where it's like Thanos, something in pop culture makes its way into the rioting itself. Cause they're like, that's interesting that people are typing Thanos is right. Let's just make it a little moment. And of course that one guy wants a selfie with him
yeah.
in the bathroom.
I felt the same way when even before he asks for the selfie, because I've had that, a line of salt of your urinals with or without dividers, and you go to one and there's like five, six others, and somebody goes to either. If there's more space, then you don't come up next to somebody. I will. No. Do you know how many times? Do you know how many times I've straight up been like, what the hell are you do in a public bathroom?
Somebody you have like five up, and someone and shows like, up next to you on the left.
Doing? And they're like, what? Use the bathroom? Why are you next to me? All of those stalls are open. What? We're all, it's not about what we are. It's called common courtesy. I don't want, like, I've showered naked in front of so many dudes, but when I can have some privacy, I want it. And if you violate privacy unnecessarily, it pisses me off, because I am wondering, what the fuck are you doing? Are you trying to? I can be scoped out. I don't mind, but don't do it idiots. In a bathroom, and don't be like that's dirty. Like I'm.
I remember in freshman year of college, YouTube was pretty young, and there was a mm-hmm. video made with Sims footage about mm-hmm. like man rules, and the man rule that stood out to me was like, you never stand next to another man in the urinal, even if they're all taken except for every other. You wait.
Yeah, or well, no, well, it depends.
I don't do that. You gotta but
go bad enough.
The video was yeah. exaggerating yeah. where it's like, you wait before you take yeah. a spot between two dudes.
It's just ridiculous.
Women don't get it, but now they're learning about
funny.
It.
Yeah, this.
It was.
The selfie thing was funny.
We're ready to move on to episode two.
We take a quick word from our sponsors over at Grow Generation. So yeah, guys, take it away.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the episode. GrowGeneration.com, where the pros go to grow. Down below. Link.
Down below. Grow those pros. Pro us grow. We are episode two. Two came out today I guess it came out to avoid coming out after. Wait, no. After Far From Home. I mean, No Way Home, right? Or is it the Wednesday before?
It's to give room for... the Star Wars. Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that makes more sense. Because every time they overlap slightly, mm-hmm. a Star Wars show or a Marvel show and movie, people are like, "Oh, are they going to tie into each other?"
No.
I don't think Hawkeye is super ground level, super simple plot. I don't think we're dealing with Skrulls. We're not dealing with multiverse. We're not dealing with robots. We're dealing with like
the only thing
Daredevil type shit.
We might get is potentially a Kingpin appearance, which has been rumored. We
and
honestly
then potentially
don't
Matt Murdock know. In yeah. Spider-Man, which would be released like the same week. Well, we don't know what episode Kingpin should show up in, but potentially, we obviously want those actors back. So
we'll see.
But
episode two,
hide and seek. It not only opens right where the other one left off; it opens a few minutes before the other one left off with him. Which I thought was funny. You don't see that much with Marvel shows, especially since they release them the same day and they still throw on the previously on Hawkeye.
Yeah, right.
And I'll be honest, I skipped not just the previously, I skipped the intro.
It's too long of an intro. There's got to be a reason for me to watch an opening.
I watch most openings for most shows.
No, when I can skip it on streaming, about the only ones I don't strip are certain anime OPs, because, man, they got some banging
I never skipped
music.
Cowboy Bebop, the new one. I never skipped banging Daredevil, never music. Skipped Dexter.
You liking Dexter. The new Cowboy Bebop at all?
I love it. I haven't seen the animated stuff,
only
so I have
seen
no
the
frame of
first,
reference.
No, we watched one or two episodes, and it's different, but we're into
different,
it.
I hear. I love it. I'm a pretty big fan so far. It's very, I wish more comic book movies and TV shows felt like it. Considering it's not even based on manga. It's just anime. But
there's been some complaints about the ending, but we'll,
I haven't still gotten that far. I think I'm 5 episodes out of 10 in. So
yeah, I'll have to see. But anyway,
hide and seek. Hawkeye has her against the wall. She's wearing the Ronin suit, and just like in Spider-Man 2, he takes off the helmet. He's like, "You're just a girl." Or takes off the, just like, you know, he's just a good boy. You're just a kid. Like, so instead of like having to take down someone he thought was, you know, murdering people using his own costume, he's just like, "Okay, like, tell me what's going on. Let's go back to your fucking place." And doesn't he? Is it later in the episode that he fights people and saves her, or is it in that scene?
Well,
he saves her at the end of the last episode, and then he has her in the alley.
Exactly. And then when they get to her place before they're able to leave, he's like, "Does anyone know that you're here?" Yada yada. And it turns out tracksuit followed, and her name's on the door, and we get the fun little fire scene and the bros, bro.
Which is true to the comic. Yeah, I'll say bro every sentence in the comic.
And it's fun. I'm not going to lie. They're played a little too much. It's almost... It is a little too much. I'm hoping they step it back a bit after Echo comes on scene and stuff. But we'll see. As of right now, I'm almost at my limit for that much on screen in any given time.
I don't know. We don't see enough henchmen in the MCU, and these guys are just dumb henchmen.
That's the thing. It's just that their dumbness is it grates really fast. Like, they spend too much time when they all pull their guns out later on at the episode. That takes too long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on now.
So the place, I mean, he meets Pizza. Oh, well, first, this is one of my favorite parts. It was a really interesting character moment, is him teaching her how to properly, like, take care of a wound and a scar. Because you never, obviously, you watch any action movie, there's always a part where Bruce Willis gets a scar right there, mm-hmm. or Paul Rudd, or Jeremy Renner and her have the exact same, like, cut.
Mm-hmm.
And he teaches her how to properly clean it so it doesn't get infected. And it's, you know, a moment you wouldn't have time for in a movie. But it's kind of like a surrogate father type moment. He's like, "Look, if you're going to be not," he doesn't say, "if you're going to be a superhero like me." He's just like, "Look, you have to know how to clean this shit properly and put on your thing properly."
Yep.
And then they get attacked, as we've discussed. The Ronin jacket gets left.
Mm-hmm.
They escape with the dog.
By fireman after he goes back to try to get it.
And then the new safe house is the aunt's house.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
And what the fuck is those pajamas? Silk blue pajamas with
she's
fucking
just wearing
fur.
Her aunt's shit.
Yeah. I know that's what I'm saying. The aunt's like, how tacky.
It's like, find something else to wear. Do you notice? So there's a poster in the background.
Or like,
a movie
the
doesn't
poster.
Actually exist. She's listed as the actress on the poster.
Makes sense.
But it's like some very like Marvel concept where it's like, and the dark dimension or
and
something.
Universe. I'll say that I don't like that she and her Bishop security is able to triangulate like Clint Barton's phone. My ass. Like, Clint's going to be able to be off the grid type shit.
You've seen his phone. He has a fucking flip phone when he gives it to her eventually. And she's like, he's like, "Enter your number."
I know, but it's still the idea that S.H.I.E.L.D. and he would have... All the things that he does is with the purpose of staying off the grid, and her phone just being that high up that it can...
Well, she has to have his number, to be fair. She can't just track Clint Barton. She's tracking a number. And the only reason that does work and didn't bother me is because it's because of the... At first, I was like, how can she do this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, her mom...
I said it's that company, but I still think that Clint would have been... He would be more protected against stuff like that, and their company isn't Stark. Stark did help the Avengers, so it's not that big of a deal, but it is one of those where it's like, okay, you guys ex machina that shit or whatever the fucking cliche is. But
it's like that line in it's exactly the same thing as my favorite lines from Thank You for Smoking. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, well, what about them smoking in space? He's like, we'll write a single line of dialogue about some like atmospheric thing that you can smoke in space. That's what this was. It was just like, basically, we'll write in one story point. No one will ever question why she can track down an Avenger as long as she has their phone number.
And no one ever expects me, Kyle Inquisition.
So they go back to her. They have to run away because of the fire. Mm-hmm. Hawkeye tells her to stay put. And she goes to work, and he goes back to the apartment. It's been taken. The costume's been taken. This is actually something I thought was cheesy at first, and I realized how cool it was. He just walks in and like finds a firefighter uniform and hat and stuff. It's like, he's a spy. He was trained by S.H.I.E.L.D. Of course he can grab a costume, walk in, hide his face enough. Walk past other firefighters who normally do recognize their own. That's one thing movies don't seem to get right, is like you can just grab a firefighter outfit or a cop outfit and no one knows. Like, I mean, New York's a big place, but you know your own, right?
Well, it depends on how many ladders are sent from which stations. It's very, very possible that they could have, but it's also possible that they wouldn't, depending on the location. You could have, you know, someone from one of the mid like at down towards Times Square. You could have someone from like Hell's Kitchen all the way up to north side of Times Square meet a fire there, and they might not know each other as well. But it is always a real risk to do that, but they do it in movies
he's
all the time.
Clint Barton.
He's fucking goddamn.
He's not like he's an untrained guy sneaking onto a. If they recognize him, they'd be like, Clint! and there is a Times Square scene, and we see the Disney store nice and prominent.
Yeah. Been there.
I will say one thing about Ghostbusters. We're not going to talk about the rest of Ghostbusters. Seeing a Walmart was really weird, even though all small towns have one.
Where did we Ghostbusters. See Walmart? Oh, I don't know why you brought Ghostbusters.
I don't know. It's like whenever I noticed product placement too often.
Okay. Yeah.
The Baskin Robbins product placement was very fitting because it was a reference to let's Ant-Man. Not get into Ghostbusters, but someone else in the audience laughed when I saw Ghostbusters. I'm like, oh yeah, Baskin Robbins always
knows.
You didn't
get that in the fucking.
I forgot the clips. I hid that clip so much. I hate that clip. Anyway, Hawkeye. So he sees a sticker for NYC or NY LARPers, and he has to even look up to know what it means. And so the next day he finds a Instagram video of the guy who stole it. Well, not stole it. He's like, the LARPers are all cops and firefighters, which I find fascinating, and it really works. Because everyone's nerds. People, you can be the biggest jacked person in the world and you're a fucking nerd. Look at Kyle. Kyle doesn't look like a nerd. He's like a man. I look like a nerd. But
you got like hairy chest and shit. Like, yeah.
Nothing. Man boobs.
You were a swimmer. You like shaved your chest and shit.
No, I didn't. I never had to. I never had enough hair up here.
I thought maybe you shaved enough that it.
I have
growing.
One hair, and I named him Chester.
I actually have to like. I had I had that hair that comes out over the top. And I had some people in the army that were like, oh, that's out of uniform. And I'd be like, 670-1, where? Show me. And they never could, but I'd have people that would bitch enough about it that I'd trim it. Anyways.
Excuse me.
So, I'm a manly man that does manly things like punch bears.
I'm a 22nd century man like Kirk or you know, Spock, they don't have any stomach hair. They're perfectly evolved. No facial hair, no stomach hair, unless it's a mirror universe. so I'm a 22nd century man.
In the army, all of us that can do this, we don't want it. And all of you guys, the fact that we can grow hair, we don't want to grow the hair because we have to shave every day.
Yeah.
While those baby face motherfuckers can get away not shaving every day.
Like this. Assholes. Look at if you're watching on YouTube, this is like a week and a half of facial hair. Right? So,
go ahead. I got to stop telling army stories.
I like them though. So does the fans, I'm sure. So do. Probably. But So the next day they have to split up. She has to go into work because she's working at her mom's Bishop Tech or security or something. Because she, and there's other mentions in the episode that she'll start full time there during the summer. And then Hawkeye goes off to LARP. She gets a call from the police. She kind of blows it off. She's whenever she sees her future father-in-law, she's always very suspicious. So I find her mom more suspicious, and we can get into that later. The LARPing scene is great. Hawkeye is made. I wish they made Hawkeye wear the helmet too, because it looks like Thor hair, and I was expecting a Thor joke.
Yeah,
it's like they hand him his suit and the helmet that has like all this blonde hair coming down. And then he just destroys everyone with his real life skills.
Yeah.
And like slow motion sequences, and then gets to Grizz, who has the Ronin, who stole the Ronin outfit. Well, found it in a burned out house. And he's like, you gotta let me kill you and I'll give it to you back. And he's like, dude, I killed Thanos. Like, like, come on, dude. Like, I fought Thanos. I didn't kill him. There's a big fight. They set it up, and then by dying, he gets the suit back. And he actually makes a little bit of a relationship with Grizz. He's kind of soft on him.
Grizz,
that's it. It's Grizz. Okay. It's Grizz. Because in the comic, Grizz is actually a pretty important character that lives in the apartment complex that he protects, which is not an element of this show.
Right.
That's an element of the comic. So we might see Grizz again. Meanwhile,
it's a fun,
fun
little scene. And it's help me out. Like, it'll boost my thing. And
And he doesn't even want to sign up and stuff. She's like, sir, this is run by the NYPD and the New York and the fire department. So I think you might want to follow the rules or you'll be in a world of hurt. And she's even like, I recognize who you are, but
it's funny.
So that happened. I'm trying to remember what else happens with Hawkeye. Cause then we get some Kate Bishop drama in her house.
She does fencing, the sword fight, fencing with, fencing. Jax or whatever.
Jax, who could easily destroy her, it seems like. Well, she's really good, but like, she gets accused by her mother of trying to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he goes, once his mask is off, she goes for the
face and
move, and he not only gets rid of it, the sword just spins vertically on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, and as we saw in the first episode, his obsession is swords, which is also why he stole the Ronin sword when they were being attacked, if we didn't mention that during the
episode one.
And then there's a bunch of suspicious stuff. She's like kind of pressing him and he's pressing her, and he offers her a monogrammed candy, which almost seems like he knows that she knows.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I actually find her mother far more suspicious, and almost he seems like almost a red herring and a dupe.
I said that to Christine. I was like, I don't know if he's necessarily a bad guy. I have this feeling that they're trying to make him out. And it's like, why would he have that? Can't? Well, it was his uncle. Yeah. Like, he could have been there because they were having a fine conversation, albeit there's tension there.
Well, they're both kind of talking around. Right. It's what feels like. We don't know what he's thinking.
Exactly. So it's like he could, and at any time, he
would have been his uncle's anytime.
Yeah. So.
But for her, it's a big clue. If this was the third act of a movie, I'd be like, oh, that's the turning point where we learn. Like, that he, and he does it, like, you know, if he was guilty, he's doing it intentionally to be like, oh, I know that you know. Here, I try the candy from my uncle's place where you were looking at the dead body of the guy stabbed in the back because I'm the swords guy. Whereas I do think it's the mother. I'm in the comics. There are multiple iterations of these characters. Jax actually is the guy who trained Hawkeye, which obviously won't happen in this show because he's about Hawkeye's age, and he's called like the Swordsman or something. He's the mom. Well, is a supervillain in the comics, but she gets killed, not the dad, in the comics, and she comes back from the dead as Miss Mask or some nonsense like that. So Hawkeye intentionally gets himself caught.
Yep.
Kate Bishop goes to rescue him by tracking him.
And it was something she was not supposed to do.
Yeah. I didn't know I was supposed to bring a gun was also the other one.
Yeah.
And then they're tied up, and it appears, unless they're stitching scenes together, that Echo, deaf superhero, is in charge of them, or at least is coming out to see them next.
Do you know if they're going to, because she's Asian descent, right?
almost thought Native American.
Okay,
I'm not sure. Technically, I don't know.
Technically, Native Americans are Asian.
It could be Asian. I recognize the actress. I didn't know her name.
I can't remember. You might be right. She might be supposed to be Native American, which, like I said, by actual
indigenous,
like, human
indigenous people.
I said Native American.
I know.
They wouldn't be indigenous means. It's semantics, and because modern politics are stupid, it's like whenever someone's just, like, give the land back, okay, to which tribe? How far back do we go? Because I hate to tell you, this land has no native humans that came across the Bering land bridge and then across boats from other places, regardless. I was wondering what type of connection she's going to have to anyone that we might have seen before, but
especially since she has her own show announced, and we've seen her. Well, and that's before this came out. Now we've seen her for about 2 minutes, and we already know she has her own show, so she can't be the full bad guy unless Marvel's going Sony and is like, here's a villain movie for you, and then another one.
But this is also the third character with hearing issues we've gotten this month, and. I mean, Marvel guys, I hate to tell you this, and everyone out there that seems to have forgotten, but disabled superheroes are not a new thing. Fucking Charles Xavier's been in a wheelchair for fucking ever, and Matt Murdock is goddamn blind. So,
have you ever seen The Boys?
What about The Boys?
In season 2, the first episode, they're trying to find a new member for the Seven. Mm-hmm. And they show Homelander, the deaf guy, the blind guy who can hear. And Homelander just punches his ears so that they're like, his ears are worthless too. And he's like, find me someone better than that. I don't want a fucking blind superhero on my superhero team.
I don't know. I don't mind. My whole thing is people that are like, oh my God. And I'm saying this, I'm fucking disabled and brain dead. Like, people that are like, oh, this
because
is. Because. I'm just
Eternals.
Saying.
Eternals. What's the third one? Eternals, Hawkeye.
And Echo.
Deaf. For Eternals, Echo, and who else?
And Hawkeye. He's got hearing
problems. Oh, I didn't even think of that. That's more of a, he has hearing issues because he's been an Avenger, and it fits the comic.
But regardless, it's still three people we're dealing with one like particular thing.
As long as his are turned on, it's not like he has to speak sign language or read other people.
Right, but
and
I'm
he
just,
can't read other people like Tom Cruise and
I'm just
Mission
saying,
Impossible
it's,
movies.
It's weird, and also I keep getting angry at people talking about the disability representation, call it deaf representation or blind representation when we get a blind person, but you can't say this because, like I said, goddamn Xavier's been in a fucking wheelchair in most of the movies and the comics.
First class storyline.
And then Matt Murdock.
Yeah, they like the original.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Charles all Xavier's before Matt Murdock.
But. Yeah. But that's all I was saying. Is,
I found no problem with that. I mean, this is obvious. They've both been in development forever. I doubt they looked at both movies coming out in November or shows and were like, oh, shit, we have deaf characters in both of them. How do we walk this back so we're not too progressive?
No. That's
just,
no,
especially
I'm
with all the delays,
it.
That's just how things
odd.
Happen.
It's very unfortunate because it makes it saturated.
It might.
To the point where I see it. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm thinking, as plot-wise, that might be an advantage for Clint. If he has hearing,
well, yeah, he could turn off the fucking awful musical he was at.
Well, I mean, if he can't hear that well anymore, and before we ever saw Echo, his son was doing sign language to him at one point, his youngest son. Those kids have not grown up to be the right age based on the 5-year gap that they didn't exist. He was a baby or something in the last movie, basically.
No, he was like a 4-year-old, 5-year-old.
Okay, so
he's
the right age then. The youngest kid's the right age.
7-ish, 8-ish.
The daughter's the right age. She's actually Joe Russo's daughter, or Anthony, I can't remember.
Which one? It doesn't matter.
A Russo.
She's a Russo.
She's a Russo, the most successful Hollywood capitalist people in the history and as we go forward. But, it's an interesting ending. They're both tied up. Like, there's, you know, it's more fun than, like, serious. Mm-hmm. It's not like if Captain America got tied up and Hydra was torturing him. This is more like Lethal Weapon. Or
when he escapes and they pull the guns
out.
Yeah, he
escapes.
Like I said, that takes too fucking long. Like, I want to talk to your boss. And she's in there feeling the vibrations of heavy speakers and stuff like
that. We assume she's the boss. She has to be, but there's still the mom is out. We always think, I'm not going to trust that mother until the series is over.
No, absolutely not. Not.
Absolutely if Kingpin not. Is in this show, then she's definitely working for Kingpin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. When does No Way Home hit? Christmas Eve, right?
17th.
Oh, 17th?
Yeah.
I thought it was the week. I thought it was the 17th,
24th. And then Britain or whatever gets 2 days before us. So we'll stay off Twitter for 2 days.
I'm so happy. Most of our audience is audio. They didn't see me just do the Silence of the Lambs masturbate and throw it. Well, at
that's
the camera.
That's what's from Silence of the Lambs.
Well, that's what I always think of.
I always
the
think
guy
of Knocked
that,
Up, where it's like you're doing the dice too much.
No. I think of the guy that throws his stuff at
and
Clarice.
She's walking in or out one of the few times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen that great film.
Of.
Okay. Anything? Oh, say so far you can't determine if this. Okay, you're in the field or section of people who don't think movies like Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, mm-hmm. and Batman Begins are Christmas movies, correct?
Right. They're not.
And well, here's what's really interesting. I was watching the Solar Opposites Christmas special. You know, it's a show co-created by the creator mm-hmm. of Star Trek Prodigy. They mm-hmm. have a Christmas special out, which is a standalone 20-minute episode, came out last week. They use the Ready Player One machine to enter Jingle All the Way.
The fucking
the
Arnold Schwarzenegger
yes,
movie?
They use that's why it's called the Ready Player One machine, because it could put you in any movie, like the scene in The Shining
nice.
in Ready Player One. And at one point in the episode, they all agree that any movie set on Christmas is a Christmas movie, which has always been my stance.
Nope.
Come on.
No,
Lethal Weapon opens with Jingle Bell Rock. He's a Christmas party in Die Hard. Batman Returns is playing at Alamo Drafthouse as a Christmas movie. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Look,
Iron Man 3 is even a Christmas movie.
Christmas is not just an event. It's a set of traditions. It's a set of feelings. It's a set of themes. Christmas isn't just a time. That's why it's called it the Christmas season, right? So anything could happen during Christmas time. It doesn't make it a Christmas event. Like if I take a shit on Christmas Day, was it a Christmas event? No, I just took a shit. Like even if I'm wearing my black and red Santa hat, I just took a shit, guys.
I have a better comparison.
In order for it to be Christmassy, you have to meet those Christmas themes. Certain things about family, the gifts.
You're doing that so far. Wrapped in a bow.
So far,
even
like
as
I said,
the trailer says.
we haven't seen enough to make the judgment call on it. Oh, because right now we've seen things about family trying to get home, travel. These are Christmas themes,
planes,
things
trains,
that are
automobiles.
Exactly. And so it's there, but if they don't continue with it, if they don't go into the ideas of the meaning of Christmas, and I'm talking the secular meaning, not the religious aspects of it, then yeah, that becomes a Christmas movie because Christmas is at the core of it. If Christmas
well, I don't
is
think
just,
we're getting that in a Marvel
if
show.
Christmas is just, I think
but
I
have a different definition of Christmas movie than
but
you, I do consider all the ones I listed as Christmas movies.
But if it's just set at Christmas time.
But Die Hard's literally at a Christmas party, and he writes, ho, 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 I have a machine gun.
What else is Christmas about?
Well, also, like Lethal Weapon, it opens in a Christmas tree sales thing. That's Rick's first scene is he's pretending
Christmas
to be
setting.
Dealing crack at us. I don't know.
Christmas setting.
I like the rule that anything that's I don't know.
I can't go with that because that's like saying if I mean take Avengers 2012, if they save the world on Christmas Day, like the sun comes up on Christmas Day and there's just Christmas decorations in the background, would that make it a Christmas movie? No.
No, but this is already more ingrained in Christmas than
that's
like
what I'm
Avengers.
Saying. It's got to be ingrained and not just have decorations. Decorations is not Christmas.
Have you ever heard Die Hard called the holiday franchise? Because every single Die Hard movie takes place on a different holiday except for the first two, with both take place on Christmas. The third one takes place on Labor Day. The fourth one takes place on Fourth of July. And the fifth one takes place on Valentine's Day.
I've only seen the holiday franchise.
Fifth one, I've only seen once, and it's awful.
Yep,
I agree with you.
He said it exactly the way I
I've only seen the second one once, and it's awful. Yeah.
I can't, man. I cannot say because it happens during Christmas time, or even that you see Christmas decorations, because I see Christmas decorations in September, October at stores. It sure as hell doesn't feel like Christmas
to me.
Show,
they say Christmas week. But I do think Batman Returns is the exception out of all of those. There's a Christmas tree lighting ceremony that becomes an action scene. There's like dates held
there
around
is,
Christmas with
there
Serena.
Is more,
there's a, she's at a shopping center.
You can absolutely make that more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard.
We're splitting the difference a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely.
Because they are showing that Alamo Drafthouse as a Christmas film alongside the actual Christmas movies. Like Love Actually.
Right.
I
personally wouldn't
Christmas
call it
Story.
That. But I'm down. I'm open to the argument. And I do agree that it is more Christmassy than Die Hard. It's like Iron Man 3 is not a Christmas movie to me.
There's another Christmas tree scene filled in that one.
It's
even
just
buys Pepper Potts.
It's
even buys Pepper Potts a
Nick,
stuffed rabbit that looks like it has two boobs and not
just,
arms.
It's just decorations.
Isn't that what Christmas is to most Americans?
No. Most Americans get into the idea of family. The idea of gift giving and not just money gifts or, you know, items, the idea of giving time, charity, those Christmas themes. Like I said, having decorations doesn't make it. Walmart has had Christmas decorations since fucking September. So it didn't make it fucking Christmas time, did it?
When a show is set the week of or the day of, it's a little different.
But if you don't make it about Christmas and it's just there in the background, is it Christmas?
I think so.
Oh, God.
I don't think we'll ever agree on that. But we'll see if the series gets more into it. And you tell us, as he said.
Tell us what you think. Does having just a decoration in the background and it happened during that time, is that enough?
All these things had more than just decoration in the background. I've listed scenes that take place in Christmas tree lots.
That's
let us know both of those. What does count as a Christmas movie, and how do you feel this is Christmassy so far?
So far you have traditional Christmas things of trying to get to
being with his family, trying to get home.
Family. Her Kate Bishop also is returning home during Christmas break from school. You have the idea of promises and broken promises, which goes into some of the religious aspects, but also does cover some of the secular things. You have charity with the dog.
Mm-hmm. Also, bring up the dog as a point.
Right,
like that seems like a Christmassy theme. We rescued a dog,
exactly, and then you have the backdrop, which helps boost all of that. But if you took everything that I just said away, or if that becomes it, like there's nothing else Christmassy, and I think they are going to build more on some of those things. Like,
well, we know he's jumping onto a fucking Christmas tree, the biggest Christmas tree
right,
in the
right.
world.
So I wholeheartedly believe and hope, because I really love good Christmas things to watch every year. So I do hope this ends up being a full-blown Christmas show.
I'll just let the fans know that during my Christmas rant, I listed my five favorite Christmas movies, basically. But and A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm.
And like Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, Nightmare Before Christmas, Batman Returns, and Iron Man 3 are probably my favorite Christmas movies.
Yeah, I don't remember. What Christmas movies and...
They'd be more legit shows. For you. Home Alone counts as one, I know.
Home Alone, 100%.
Are they both set at Christmas? Home Alone 1 and 2?
Here,
2 isn't.
Here's my top five from LRM ranks that I did it with Brian. 5-1. Scrooged, Christmas
Good.
Vacation, Home Alone Good. 2, or excuse me, Home Alone, and then The Santa Claus, which was number 2, and then number 1, Muppets Christmas Carol.
I'd love to see how The Santa Claus holds up. I do love Muppets.
I watch it every year.
I love Muppets Christmas Carol.
I watch all of these movies every
year. Well, haven't
year.
You watched Disney Plus's latest offering?
No,
Home
I won't watch
Home
that.
Alone, which nope. looks like the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
They can't be any worse than 3 or 4. Those were both awful. And what is it with Wonder?
There's a 4?
Never mind, I'm going to... Yes!
Because 3, I already know, doesn't have Kevin McAllister.
Nope.
I know there was a 4.
I thought
so this
was
a
the
5.
Fifth one. I'm
I don't
certain.
Give a shit, but...
Brian had mostly the same. He had the Santa Claus, Scrooge, and then a movie I fucking hate.
Mm.
A Christmas Story.
I've never
the
seen
absolute
a Christmas Story.
Worst garbage piece of fucking Christmas cinema out there. Sorry. At that Kyle Malone, everyone already hates me because of my Ghostbusters review. Hey, thank you, Red Letter Media, for several points you and I agreed on, and some I don't necessarily agree with, but you guys were way harsher than I was. But,
that's surprising.
Yeah. And then he has Home Alone and Christmas Vacation, so yeah.
Yeah, okay. All
those,
right,
are
those
are all Christmas
movies. Oh, they definitely are, but I think
through.
It should be expanded past that. Obviously,
but then
Santa Claus is super Christmas. Santa Claus is probably the most Christmassy of all of those, except for like A Nightmare Before Christmas and Christmas Story, but mm-hmm. never fucking seen A Christmas Story. I get yeah. it. Leg lamp, stick your tongue to a pole, yada, yada,
yeah.
yada.
Shoot
movie.
Your eye out, kid.
With a BB gun. Yeah, I know enough about it to not like it, so
yeah.
we're good. Anything else Hawkeye related?
No.
On this Thanksgiving. This will come out on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It was a bit of a slow start, but not bad. Just where you're like, eh, as a film and TV aficionado, a stuck up asshole or armchair director and editor, I would have made some cuts. But I'm happy.
I was gonna
so
ask,
far.
How does it compare to the other first two episodes of the other three series?
Oh, this would be the worst opening. This would be WandaVision, although they should have given us three episodes for WandaVision. I love both of those. Way more invested. Way more invested in Loki and way more invested in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I gotta
just to finish up, but even though I'm more invested in those when they first started, that's not saying that I'm not into this.
I am super into this, but I love all of them, so I have to agree.
I'm so into you, Futurama, Zoidberg.
Yes.
Love
but
that
yeah,
stuff.
This... And it's not a fault. I love the series. I think it's... I mean, I'm a Marvel fan. One of the only things I've ever admitted I didn't like was the Eternals. Like
that was awful.
But, you know, I'm easy to please. Everywhere I've written that I've liked it, whether it's our Discord, which you should check out, or Slack, which you can't check out, I'm like, I liked it, you guys.
You
no surprise there, LOL, because I like everything Marvel. But, no, it seems like, honestly, if I'm going to compare the whole Phase 4, it's a better start than Black Widow or Shang-Chi also. Like, I think all the TV series have been superior to all the movies so far.
Like
Shang-Chi is great
opening.
For the first two acts, and then at the end it's like, okay, everyone should watch the pitch meeting for Shang-Chi. It nails it.
Yeah.
Have you seen the pitch meeting for Eternals before we go?
No, I haven't watched that one.
The main joke in that is that this feels like this should have been a Disney Plus series.
Yes,
so you fit all the characters
did see,
in.
I did see. You how many characters?
Yeah.
I did catch it. Yeah, that was good. Anyways, hey guys. We have a great YouTube channel, LRM Online's YouTube channel. A lot of awesome interviews go up on there. All the podcasts from LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network go up on that as well. Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, Nick will tell you about Daily Cup of Genre. We're taking Thursday off. You guys are getting this show on Thanksgiving Day, but the Daily Cog will take
You're
off.
Welcome.
Jason Stewart, comedian, actor, filmmaker, funny guy. Actually, pretty much the whole episode. We pre-recorded a guest segment, and we talked for 40-some-odd minutes. So fun conversation. Look for that on Friday from the Daily Cup of Genre. Animeversal Reviews is still covering Miracle-chan. Great horror slice of life. Anime, and then things coming up. Oh, our Dragon Reviewed podcast, the Wheel of Time. If you're into it, whether it's the show or books. Cam Clark, the host of the show, has read all of the books. Christine and I have not, and we're not doing any book spoilers. He's asking questions to see what we might be able to predict or work out, but he's not telling us whether we're right or wrong. We'll find out as the story goes along. But I think people that have read at least the first couple of books that already know some things might kind of get into seeing what
Christine
and I can work out. And so check all that out. And of course, LRMonline.com, genreverse.com. And social media information down below. Nick, to say your stuff.
I am also on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, which I co-created with Jonesy. We're actually taking a week off, and I'm shocked because we've never intentionally took a week off before. So we'll be back the week after Thanksgiving. Because, I think we've only missed 5 weeks maybe total in our, almost three-year run because of, absolute emergencies or, everyone's out of town or something. So I'm surprised we're taking the week off, but we are. We'll be back next week with Bruised, which doesn't look very good to me, but it's Jonesy's choice. And of course, news from the last 2 weeks, including the what I would call incredible Jurassic World domination.
I watched
IMAX
it.
Clip.
It was cool looking.
Yeah, it's cool. We don't know much from it.
Too much time in the past. They could have.
Well, that's going to be the entirety of the movie in the past, and the rest of it won't be in the past.
I was going to say, are we going to see the asteroid hit? That's what I
think that's
wanted,
all we're seeing. You see the mosquito, mosquito bite, and the descendant of the T-Rex we know from most
films. I like
how
they added the feathers a little bit. They tried to make the dinosaurs a little
more
realistic
because
in the past.
The point is they've been re-engineered.
That's the retcon reasoning and reality.
Well, in the book they say that they are half monster. They're even John Hammond even changed the DNA to make them faster or slower based on what we'd seen in movies before.
Okay. Well, yeah, I remember them talking about using extra DNA, but it was a long time before. We realized how feathered all the dinosaurs, well, not all, but most dinosaurs
were.
I
can't remember the name of the expert on the set, but the expert on the set said that Spielberg was wrong from movie one, not including feathers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is I don't remember when, but if you go back to books from when you were in school, Archaeopteryx or whatever the fuck is the only feathered one, and a couple of other small ones, and most looked like lizards, So
one
I don't remember when it became known.
Before we completely end it. So if you watch the Jurassic World domination clip, which I think should be called Jurassic World War, because there are dinosaurs loose all over the country. There's a scene where everyone's at a drive-in theater and there are dinosaurs running around. And one of my funniest friends, guy from California, we were both the most depressed people in the world and self-deprecating people in the world. He tweeted on my repost that he's like, why in the world would anyone go out into public when there are dinosaurs around? It's not like we see that during COVID. And it's like, oh, shit. Of course people still go to drive-in movies.
I went out and about, but whatever.
No, exactly. That's the point where it's like, of course you'd still go out.
Yeah.
We proved that in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Damn, those dinosaurs be damned. And with that, excelsior.
Enough said. Can we get some dinosaurs to eat us? That'd be awesome.
That would be my way to go here. No, my way to go is I want to be crushed by an Amazon robot.
It's here. Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry! Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.